ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भक्ति भगवती भक् नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 वर्स नंबर 63 यथा यथानुमियते चित्तम् लक्षते चित्तवृत्तिभिः यथानुमियते चित्तम् उभयैरिन्द्रियैहितैः एवं प्राक् देहजं कर्म लक्षते चित्तवृत्तिभिः यथानुमियते चित्तम् उभयैरिन्द्रियैहितैः एवं प्राक् देहजं कर्म लक्षते चित्तवृत्तिभिः अनुमियते कैन बी इमेजिन चित्तम वंस कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ मेंटल कंडीशन उभयैः बोथ इंद्रिया ऑफ द सेंसेस इहितैः बाय द एक्टिविटीज एवं सिमिलरली प्राक् previous dehajam performed by the body karma activities lakshate can be perceived chitta of consciousness vrittibhi by the occupations translation and purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada translation one can understand the mental or conscious position of a living entity by the activities of two kinds of senses, the knowledge acquiring senses and the executive senses. Similarly, by the mental condition or consciousness of a person, one can understand his position in the previous life. There is an English proverb that says, "The face is the index of the mind." If one is angry, his anger is immediately expressed in his face. Similarly, other mental states are reflected by the actions of the gross body. In other words, the activities of the gross body are reactions to the mental condition. The mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing. The willing portion of the mind is manifested by the activities of the body. The conclusion is that by the activities of the body and the senses, we can understand the condition of the mind. The condition of the mind is affected by past activities in the past body, When the mind is joined with a particular sense, it immediately becomes manifest in a certain way. For instance, when there is anger in the mind, the tongue vibrates so many maledictions. Similarly, when the mind's anger is expressed through the hand, there is fighting. When it is expressed through the leg, there is kicking. There are so many ways in which subtle activities of the mind are expressed through various senses. The mind of a person in Krishna consciousness also acts in a similar way. The tongue chants Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra. The hands are raised in ecstasy and the legs dance in Krishna consciousness. These symptoms are technically called Ashtasattvika Vikara. Sattvika Vikara is transformation of the mental condition in goodness or sometimes transcendental ecstasy.
Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjanashalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadahmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So it's a very interesting verse because it's almost like a conclusion to the previous verse which Manmohan Prabhu was discussing yesterday. Because the previous verse was basically to say what identities we take based on the bodily conception and what happens because of that. What is the mental concoction one gets into? So this verse is almost like a conclusion to the previous verse. So generally, when we see the modern innovations like the robots or something, we see the robots doing so many actions and activities. We immediately know that there is a software that is activating that robot in a certain way. So in the same way, our body that is visible to our naked eyes is functioning in a certain way also because of there is a software within it. And that software is called a subtle body, which consists of three ingredients, which is ego, intelligence and the mind, manas, buddhi and ahankara, of which the mind is said to be very powerful of them. Both the gross body and the subtle body is actuated within this, within it, because is actuated by the soul within it. So the mind actually acts as a conduit between the gross body and the subtle body. So whatever we see as the manifestations of movements, talking or moving in the gross body is actually a manifestation of the mind that is working inside as a subtle body. So that is what is called as Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe, There is a subtle body inside this gross body which is actuating it. So as we said, that this verse is speaking about the conclusion of the previous verse as to how the mind is acting as a reservoir of impressions, or in other words, recording of the impressions based on the actions and desires that the living entity goes through. And these impressions are carried over from many, many different lives, not one life. So every time we talk, we act, we enact, every action, there is a recording that is happening inside. Just like a hard drive, where a computer records on a hard drive, the mind tries to record it as an impression. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the mind has innumerable desires that are actuated by the senses. Every time we interact with matter, we are seeing something around us, we are speaking something, we are smelling something, we are hearing something. Every interaction based on the sense and the sense object, there is a recording happening. Just like the mic and the video camera is recording it. So the mind is also recording these impressions. And Prabhupada writes that there are two senses that work behind the scenes. I mean, that work actually to factuate or to actuate these recordings. So that is the motor senses and the knowledge acquiring senses. What are the knowledge acquiring senses? Are the ear, mouth, eyes, and nose. And the motor senses are the execution senses. That's what Prabhupada was saying, that when these impressions manifest, when it manifests to the hand or the leg, you see kicking or fighting with each other. So these are the impressions that come out. Usually, knowledge acquiring senses, one can see that the thoughts are manifested through these senses. Although to a large extent in the human society, we won't see these impressions being manifested much out of the hands and the legs, because they are well, most of the humans are well disciplined. Although there are impressions, there are deliberations from the mind sometimes to hit someone, sometimes to push someone. Generally in a human society, it is curtailed to a large extent. But when it comes to manifesting it out of the knowledge acquiring senses, it's very easy. The manifestation happens very easy. Sometimes the mind says, hey, look at that, that is very beautiful. And immediately the eyes go here and there. Here, this is very nice, and the ears just pop out. And the tongue wants to taste all subtle, tastes. So it's very easily expressed. So that is why many a times in the human society we see that although we do not see the gross manifestations in terms of the motor senses or the executory senses, we see sometimes that even though when there is an apparently saintly person who behaves like a saint, when he opens his mouth, we'll come to know what type of a saint he is. So that is the, because when he opens his mouth, when he is an artificial, when he is a Falgu saint, artificial saint, when he opens his mouth, inauspicious things comes out of his mouth. So this is what is called as manifestation of impressions out of the mind. Generally in adults, it is curtailed to a large extent, because in adults we know how to behave duplicitously. So although we want to, let's say in a class, we are disinterested in a class, but generally adults can pose as if they are very interested. But if you see kids, they don't have this duplicitous behavior. If they are not interested, they will make sure that they display it on their own. And they don't have this duplicity. They don't know how to hide it, or they haven't learned the art yet. So in kids, it's very apparent that when the mind is disturbed, it becomes very apparent in their mood. Sometimes they cry, sometimes they start moving here and there, and sometimes they scream. So that is why this verse is saying, generally, we can ascertain one's mental condition based on their physical behaviors. Sometimes some people quite fidget a lot, sitting and they keep moving here and there. So this is a manifestation that the mind is also rocking here and there. So when we rock too much, this is called fidgeting. So when the body is moving and you're flipping your hands or legs, sometimes usually it's a symptom that the mind is actually disturbed, or the mind is not steady. So that's why we see Arjuna asks this question in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Stita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava stitadhi kim prabhaseta kim asita vrajeta kim. Arjuna is asking, Oh Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? And what is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? So generally, we want to see how the saints behave. And we see always Prabhupada as an epitome of that behavior. When Prabhupada walks, it was like a majestic walk. The way he used to lift his chin and walk or talk, it was so majestic, so attractive. So generally, this is deep psychology. In fact, if you see our Vedic scriptures, they are filled with deep psychology. They are very scientifically analyzed, the workings of the mind, the intelligence, and how these manifest as behaviors in every living individual. And this is psychology, in fact. And Vedic psychology does not restrict only to study the effects. Okay, this person is behaving in this certain way, and then, okay, the source of this is the brain. That is not where the Vedic texts stop. They go even further. Because in modern psychology, which fails to go beyond the brain, because they think the consciousness is actually, the source of consciousness is coming from the brain. So their whole study of psychology goes to the mind and then ends up with the brain, which is a physical cause, which is just the phenomenal cause of psychology, and which is a big drawback of modern psychology, because Shastra say it is just not the brain. There are practical cases in history where there are kids with no brain at all. There is no cerebrum or a cerebellum. It had just filled with cerebral fluid, and they had extraordinary IQ, which medical science cannot explain why that is so. So modern psychology has a lot of drawbacks. So what they do, they think, okay, consciousness is coming from the brain, so we will study the brain to understand the psychology of a person. So that is where they limit their research. It's almost like this. We have heard this story. There was an old woman who lost her finger ring in her house. She didn't have electricity. It was an old village. And then one fine day, she was searching that ring under a street light. Someone passed by and asked, Mataji, what happened? What did you lose? She said, I lost a ring. Then the person said, where did you lose it? She said, I lost it in the house. Then he says, why are you searching under the street light? The lady says, because there is light here. That's why I'm searching. So it's like this, modern psychology is like this. Because they have a brain, and that's where they stop. And they think this is the phenomenal cause of it. So I'll just research on the brain and try to come out with an answer for psychology. So modern research is like that. In fact, in the recent psychological advancement, there is something called as Ericksonian hypnosis. Someone has heard about this term? Ericksonian hypnosis, where the modern doctors try to peek into the patient's mind by using hypnosis. So in order to cure some ailments for the patients. For example, there was a practical case a few years ago in Manipal Hospital in the southern part of India, where this psychological department tries to do some research using hypnosis and try to cure certain ailments. And these are mental ailments. For example, stuttering. Stuttering is considered to be a fluency disorder. Some people have this problem of not being able to speak fluently. So this person, as a research patient, had been brought into the ward in the hospital. And this patient had never gone out. He had never gone out of his village. He does not know anything apart from his mother tongue. And he's a small laborer. But he had this problem of stuttering since his childhood. So they wanted to analyze how we can use Ericksonian hypnosis to go and try to solve this problem. So they started putting him in the hypnotic state, and they started asking him to go back in time, where he can go in his subconscious mind and then go deeper in his past. To their surprise, this person went very back. He went into the womb of his mother. He said, I'm actually floating in a liquid. I can see liquid and I can experience that there is noise everywhere, and he was floating in water. So they understood that it must be from the impression from the womb. So the doctors got a little bit inquisitive, because generally patients don't go that far. Their memory is already removed by them because of their gross impressions. But they said, can you go even further? And this person, he said, I'm flying in the sky. I can see mountains. I can see trees from the top. I can fly. So literally, probably it was an impression. The doctors maybe thought, oh, he must be a bird or something. And they said, okay, can you go back a little further? So they were thinking this to be quite a good research. And this person started speaking fluently in Urdu. Very fluently in Urdu. No stuttering. The stuttering has gone now. Very fluently in Urdu. And they asked, who are you? They are saying, I am an aluminium vessel seller. I am selling vessels. And where are you from? He is saying, I am from Uttar Pradesh. I am from some place in Varanasi, and I sell utensils on this street seller. And then the doctors were really interested about this guy. So he said, can you go a little further? And just when they asked to go a little further, he starts speaking very fluent American English. This person has never gone out of his village. He doesn't know any language apart from his mother tongue. He starts speaking American English and he says, "Where are you from?" He's from, "I'm from Pennsylvania." And he's a businessman in Pennsylvania. And no stuttering for all this. So he's very fluently speaking English, Urdu. And then they thought, okay, now they try and trained him to say you don't have stuttering and things like that in a hypnotic state. And they tried to bring him back. As soon as they started drawing him back to his original body, his stuttering came back. So he started stuttering back again in his mother tongue. And then they couldn't solve his problem. So this is a practical scenario where how one's impressions are there in the mind. Medical science cannot explain how these impressions get carried over from one body to another body when the body is completely destroyed. Because this person's gone back three bodies. So how can that memory be transferred? Hence what science does is they kind of place these research to the side to say, okay, this is something that we can't explain, so keep it to the side. But Vedic texts are not like that. So Vedic text clearly says that the subtle mind carries impressions as memory, and what causes these impressions? It is vritti vihi. That's what the verse says. Lakshate chitta vritti vihi. So vritti vihi means the occupations or the actions that we execute or the actuations of the senses are creating these impressions, and every impression is paving the way for our future bodies. And if these actions are gross and material, we get a material body. And if these actions are subtle and transcendental, we are preparing ourselves to get a spiritual body. If we end up doing a lot of material impressions, then we end up with punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So that's why modern science cannot explain what is this consciousness, how does these impressions drive, and where is the soul's consciousness coming from. Because if you see what drives these impressions, there is this mind that gets transferred as a subtle body from one body to another, and then the consciousness also gets transformed. Modern science, in fact, I was researching, even till date, modern science is not able to explain the phenomenon of consciousness in a very clear way. They think consciousness comes from matter or mixing of certain chemical elements, or consciousness emanates from some electrochemical impulses from the brain. That is where they are. But the Vedic texts say that consciousness is a symptom of the soul. Just like a torch, you know, when I switch on a torch, there is light emanating from the torch. The consciousness is actually emanating from the soul. That's what the scriptures say. But it's actually bewildering for science to understand what is consciousness. And generally they say consciousness means when a patient is awake, when a person is awake and he's aware of his surroundings, he's said to be conscious. And then when he's put to sleep, he's said to be unconscious. That is all the definition they have about consciousness. But Shastra goes a little further and it says consciousness has different states. In fact, Shastra says there is consciousness everywhere. Vasudevam sarvamiti. There is consciousness everywhere. Even in inert matter there is consciousness. That is why we can see electrons and neutrons being activated. There is Vasudevam consciousness everywhere. But this consciousness gets manifested in different living individuals based on their being conscious about their consciousness. So, the Shastras goes even further to say, we all can understand our consciousness based on three states we go through every day. What are they? Wakeful state, dreamful state, and deep sleep. Just these three states we can analyze whether we are conscious of our surroundings. And then one goes into dream state. What happens in dream state? His body is sleeping now, but his mind is still awake. His mind is creating pictures and images and mixing impressions that it has collected, and then he's trying to create a movie, and then he's tasting certain dishes, he's smelling certain flowers, even in his dream. Although his nose is not present there, the mind can still actuate and do all the activities without the gross senses in a dream state. So that means he's still conscious, but he's conscious in a different reality. And then what's more interesting is the third state, which is deep sleep. In the wakeful state, my gross senses, my body are all active and awake. They are able to touch sense objects and experience it. In the dreamful state, the gross body, the gross senses are sleeping, but I can still do all that because my mind and intelligence is active. because I'm still seeing another world. And then in the deep sleep, the most interesting part of deep sleep is that my gross body is slept off, my mind is also asleep, and so is my intelligence. There is absolutely no presence of any gross senses away at that point in time. That is why it is called as deep sleep. In fact, modern science is still not able to understand the phenomenon of deep sleep. What causes deep sleep and how? Why is deep sleep so refreshing for someone when they wake up? It's very refreshing. But the Shastras say it is refreshing because during that period of deep sleep, the senses are gone. That means the identification that I am this body is gone. And then even that identification that I am the mind or I am the intelligence is also gone. Only thing that is remaining in deep sleep is I alone. I as a living entity, I as a soul only remains. So this aham mameti has been stripped off and the soul is allowed to experience that you are a spirit. That's why deep sleep is very, very refreshing. But it is also an experience under the mode of ignorance because we are not aware of that experience. But the nature provides us that here is an experience for you. But the biggest challenge is how do you now get that state in always? Wakeful state, dreamful state, or even deep sleep. That is what is called the Sturiya, which is the fourth stage. You have to become, you have to cross these three stages and reach the state. That's why the mind is the conduit for manifesting these impressions from a spirit source to the gross section. I've got a body, I've got a spirit, and the mind is kind of a middle layer between to emanate this consciousness. I've got a soul has got consciousness. And then when the light is passing through these layers of the mind, the body, the intelligence, the light becomes colored. So let's say the torch is emanating a light. The light becomes colored due to various glasses of blue, pink, red. So the consciousness becomes colored or muddy. And these red, pink glasses are called as impressions of what we have collected. Now, if we come to our practice of sadhana, our Krishna consciousness life, if we see, if a devotee begins his Krishna consciousness, at the very beginning, his mind is occupied in saying, okay, now I am aware that I want to become a devotee and I have gross impressions that I have collected. So I start saying, I should not eat outside, I should not eat obnoxious stuff, I should not watch obnoxious stuff, I should not hear obnoxious stuff. So the mind is busy trying to filter gross material impressions away. So that, what is happening? So I'm trying to purify my gross existence. So my mind is very busy in the initial phases of Krishna consciousness. So when a devotee starts his life in Krishna consciousness, the mind becomes very active in doing two things. Mind is very how does the mind work? Shastra says sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. Sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. Sankalpa and vikalpa means the mind always accepts something and rejects something. That is all the mind does, and the intelligence tries to fulfill or reject what the mind is trying to reject. So during the initial phases of Krishna consciousness, the mind is trying to reject that is not good, anarthas, and then the mind is trying to accept what is important. So the mind is pretty much active in the initial stages of devotion. But what happens after a few years of Krishna consciousness, when a devotee starts executing his devotional service majorly by in a mechanical way. So so usually mind has this problem of pushing certain day-to-day movements to something called as a subconscious nature. For example, sometimes if you realize we have come out of our houses, we have started the car, we have reached the destination, but we have not consciously done it. We have not consciously said, I'm going to put the key in the car and then sit in the car, switch on the ignition, and I've closed the door. I don't consciously do it because the mind actually pushes what we regularly do to a subconscious level. And then the subconscious mind executes. And the same thing happens in devotion as well. When we start practicing devotional service, initially because we are aware of what we are doing, we are conscious of what we are doing. But gradually, the mind tries to push this to the subconscious. Like, okay, you are doing aarti, push it to the subconscious. Okay, I'm doing aarti. Many a times, that's why we realize we have done aarti, but we have not even seen one color dress that the deity is wearing, because it is actually in subconscious doing it. We are not aware, the mind has gone somewhere else. So this is very natural state how the mind works, because the mind is very powerful, it's balam. So what happens in the later stages of Krishna consciousness, because we start moving, because a devotee starts doing devotional service in a mechanical way, the mind, what happens to the mind? It becomes free. When it becomes free, it becomes a mind, an idle man's mind is a devil's workshop. So what happens? The mind becomes free, and because it is free, and because there is a purification also happening, it starts manifesting, because the gross impressions are being cleaned now. I'm not no more worried about eating outside. I'm no more worried about hearing obnoxious stuff, because the gross impurities have been removed. The anarthas that were gross anarthas, external anarthas, have been removed. But now it is the time to introspect, and the mind has to clean its own house, not the body. That is when it starts manifesting the anarthas. That is why even in the ladder of devotion, if you see Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Adhav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya come, after that comes the Anartha Nivritti. So the Anartha Nivritti happens almost after we reach Bhajana Kriya, and then the Anartha Nivritti starts happening. So the Anarthas of Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madamatsarya, the lust, greed, envy, anger, illusion and pride, all of this starts manifesting, because the mind has to be turned inwards, and then the mind own house has to be put in order. And that's when these impressions come out, these anarthas come out. So that's why the mind has to go deeper. So, and that's when the mind starts manifesting these anarthas. And how do they manifest? Because now we are in the realm of bhakti, they have to manifest in the realm of devotees only. So they manifest as apacharas or offenses. They come out as offenses to the devotees, and that is when what happens, nama aparad will happen, bhagavata apachara will happen, bhagavata apachara will happen, asaya apachara. Sometimes we hate some devotees for no reason. I just don't like it. Why? Don't know. That is my own anartha. But it will feel as if I don't like it because I don't like something in that day. But actually it's a manifestation of my own impression coming out, and it's trying to, that's why Prabhupada said in the beginning that face is an index of the mind, and the mind is the index of the consciousness. So what comes to my mind initially is what is there in my consciousness, and that consciousness is colored. So although the consciousness is pure, it's colored because of my impressions. Jai. So how do we cleanse these anarthas? How do we cleanse these nasty things in the heart? So it is interesting, because when I was reading, we have to talk about a pastime that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted during his Jagannath Puri Leela. So this was a time when Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra was approaching, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summoned Kashi Mishra, the superintendent of the Puri temple, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he's requesting in front of them to say, "I want to clean the temple." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is requesting these three people, "Please allow me to clean the temple." Well, the superintendent said, "My dear Lord, you are our supreme Lord. So, your cleaning of the temple means you are instructing us to clean the temple. But you feel like you want to clean, so we will be your servants. So the Lord, the king has ordered us to just go by what you say and follow your orders. So if you wish to do so, it must be accepted as your pastimes. So we will all be following you, my dear Lord." So they start. In this way, Mahaprabhu starts cleaning the Jagannath Puri temple. This is called Gundicha temple. Because before the Lord comes into the temple has to be clean of all the dust and all the kachara we have. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started cleaning the floor first. He started putting straw, all the gross, dirt that is accumulated in the temple. He started putting all the stuff outside. And then all the devotees started following him. The pile what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought was bigger than what the others could bring, actually. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was demonstrating that you have to take out more. There is a lot more dirt in it. So like that, he started cleaning it. And then he used to go back to the same place and clean further finer dust. Collect some finer dust out of the same place and then go out and clean it. He used to go and clean the ceilings, the walls, the crevices between, and then the place where the Lord used to eat. So he cleaned so detailedly that he made sure that there was no subtle dust available as well there. was spick and span. Cheto Darpanam Arjuna. That's why in commenting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that as a world leader, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting to us as a world leader how to clean our hearts before receiving the Lord in our hearts. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in his Shikshashaka, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Chetaha means consciousness or the heart. Or the heart means not the physical heart, but the consciousness. That is what the symptom of the soul is. And that has to be cleansed. As I said, there were many layers of impressions and that has to be cleansed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, if you want Krishna to come and sit, Vasudeva means the heart. And Vasudeva means one who comes and sits into the heart. So one has to cleanse the heart before Krishna can come and sit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was practically demonstrating that we need to take out all the straw, the sand. When the gross particles have been removed, we have to concentrate on the finer dust particles, which are anarthas, which is the last to be removed because they are very difficult to be taken out. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was demonstrating to everyone how we should cleanse our hearts, and so are all the devotees following it. And Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa also confirms this in the Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam Svakatah Krishnah Punyashravana Kirtanah Hradyantastohi Abhadrani Vidunote Sukhritsatam. How does this cleaning happen? Shrinvatam Svakatah Krishnah. This cleaning of the heart has to happen based on the Katha of Krishna. Punyashravana, and it has to happen by chanting the Kirtana. Then any abhadra in the heart, hridayantastho, that which is inside the heart, abhadrani will be removed by this process. So, but we understand, how does that happen? How can sound purify consciousness? What was interesting is in the third canto, it is said that the whole creation was started because of the sound. Sound is what agitates the three modes of material nature, and then from sound comes Shabda, comes Akasha. That is how the manifestation of this material nature happens. That means that's how the body has come. And actually it's a reverse process. When we have to destroy this body, sound alone can destroy this body. But what sound? It's a transcendental sound. So the reverse also is true. So sound only can destroy this cycle of birth and death by hearing his names, pastimes and of Lord Krishna. So, how does this cleansing happen? If we go deeper, we can understand that vritti bihi, the activities have to be done in pure consciousness. Whatever we do while practicing Krishna consciousness, we have to be aware, or we have to be conscious of our consciousness. Means my consciousness, am I conscious of what I am doing? Am I conscious about what consciousness I have? For example, mere cleaning will not help. With what consciousness I am cleaning is what matters. So usually when we see, we always give this example. So let's say there is a glass of water with some mud in it. Usually when the mud is settled down, we feel that the glass of water on top is very clear because the mud has settled down. And we think the consciousness is very clear. But a little agitation of the water, what happens? The mud comes up and agitates the water. The water becomes muddy. In the same way, our hearts have impressions inside it. A little agitation, the impressions come out and they start manifesting as anarthas or as gross manifestations. So that is why when we chant, so how does that cleaning happen? How does the muddy water, so let's say I've got a glass of water, I've got mud in it. And I've got clean water, I've got water in it. I have to remove the mud out of the glass and make the water very crystal clear. How do I clean that glass?
More water.
Put more water. Exactly. So I can't empty the glass because I can't empty thoughts out of my mind, because even emptying the glass or emptying the mind itself is a thought. So I can't empty my mind of the thought. So somebody says, I have to empty my mind, some type of meditation which says empty my mind, that itself is a thought. So how can you empty your mind when you are thinking of emptying it? So as Paramahamsa was saying, if you want to clean the water, you put more water into it. And when you put more water into it, what does that signify? If you put more positive impressions into the heart, When I put more positive impressions into the heart, what happens? The first thing that happens is agitation. When agitation happens, the water becomes muddy. And that is a symptom when our consciousness becomes agitated, because the cleaning is happening. That is why this example is given, that when you go into a dusty house and start cleaning the house, cough manifests, because the dust is spread everywhere, because the cleaning process is happening. So that is how, when the consciousness is being cleansed, anarthas start manifesting. And they go on for a while. As long as we pour in positive impressions, the more positive impressions we pour, the mud keeps overflowing. And then eventually clear water remains under the water. So in that same way, we have to keep pouring positive impressions as much as possible. Because the mind has a weakness, and it also has a strength. And the strength is, it mixes a lot of impressions and creates an image for us. So for example, 2 days back I was dreaming. I was dreaming of giving a concert. And obviously it was an inauspicious song. I was singing some Bollywood song. In that dream I was singing. And I was going on, and usually I have a tendency to forget lyrics. So I was flipping my lyrics book, and this is what I was dreaming actually. And then I was tense, I was sweating, and then I looked to my left, lo and behold, I saw who? I saw Gopal Vrindesh Prabhu. So in my dream, of my Karmi dream, I saw Gopal Vrindesh Prabhu. And then Gopal Prabhu gives me his phone. He's googled it and already given me the lyrics. Okay, take the lyrics. And I see the phone, and the phone starts ringing. And I give back the phone to my to Prabhu, and then that was actually the alarm of my clock. So that sound was the alarm of my clock, so it woke me up. So I was thinking, I have positive impressions, but Gopal Prabhu came into my life and saved me, and that remained as a positive impression, and I have some inauspicious impressions, and the mind is trying to concoct both. So what about, so at least part of my dream was auspicious because of the presence of a devotee. Thank you, Prabhu, for coming to my dreams. So like this, the Lord, the devotees come into us as positive impressions, not only in the dream state, but in a wakeful state as well. So every action should keep reminding us as to some aspect of Krishna. So if we talk about majesty, for example, when Ojaswi Prabhu went to print Prabhupada's poster, the guy in office work said, "Who is this person?" And Prabhupada said, "He's my guru." He says, "Oh, he's pretty heavy." And he said, "Yeah, Prabhupada, yes, he is." Looking at Prabhupada, so Prabhupada's face was itself was an emanation of that spiritual consciousness, even in his photo. Talk about all these people, yeah. So like that. So I was happy that Gopal Prabhu came in my dream and he saved me from my inauspicious dream actually. So like this, the mind tries to concoct impressions, and it is very important for a practitioner to put more and more positive impressions. That is why from the Vedic times it was important that the impressions in Sanskrit is called as samskaras. As a child, there were many samskaras that was given to the child. The purificatory ceremonies were conducted. But what happened, gradually they were conducted as a ritualistic process. But these were samskaras to actually awaken the spirit inside the body. That was what the whole purpose of the samskaras was. But nowadays the samskaras have become just mere rituals. Or nowadays the children are given the samskaras of television and internet. And how can God consciousness be awakened? So it's very important that the children should be given positive samskaras, not only for the children, for everyone. That is why Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham matista vadurukramandrim sprishati anartha pagamo yadartaha mahiyasam padarajobhishekam nishkinchananam nabrinita yavat. How can these anarthas be removed? Prahlad Maharaj says, just by smearing upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one can be completely freed from material contamination. Material contamination means these anarthas, these impressions. Anartha apagamo, anartha apagamo, Prahlad Maharaj says. So I've seen in Vrindavan and many places when a sannyasi walks out, they touch the floor and put the dust on their feet. Well, it is true, but on an actual sense, what it means is following the instructions of senior Vaishnavas. That is what it means of smearing the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas means. We have to follow their sato vritte. We have to follow in their consciousness and
follow in the footsteps of great devotees like that. And that is why Prabhupada writes how a devotee's senses work. How does a devotee work? Because what to talk about sadhakas, once we purify our consciousness, how does a devotee then execute? How does his impressions manifest? We have a practical example of Ambarish Maharaj, where it says, Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo vacham sivai kuntha gunanu varnane karau harer mandiram ajanadishu shrutim chakarachyuta sakkatodaye mukunda lingalaya darshane drishau tadhrityagatra sparshenga sangamam ghranancha tatpada saroja saurabhe shrimat tulasya rasanam padarpite. So Ambarish Maharaj, Savai mana Krishna pada arvindayo, his offered his mind where Krishna has set his foot. It is also said in the bhajan, we say, Bhajavure mana Shri Nanda Nandana. So the mind has to raise towards Krishna's lotus feet. For such devotees, he is spending his whole, he is using his whole body in cleansing the temple. Vachams, he is using his words to gunanu varnani, to glorify the Lord. He is using his hands to clean the temple. Karav harer mandira marjanadishu and shrutim chakarachyuta satvatode. And he is glorifying those shrutis which actually glorify the Lord. So like this, a devotee has purified his consciousness inside out and outside him. So his whole consciousness is purified. And when that chitta is purified by his vritti, which is occupation in bhakti, then that consciousness shines so bright where he can reflect the brightness of the Lord in their hearts. So with this, I will summarize. That this verse is about how the impressions get manifested out in our gross and subtle bodies, and how it is important as practitioners that we gradually cleanse these impressions by pouring more positive impressions into the heart, so that our consciousness becomes very clean and it becomes darpana, like a mirror where it can reflect the Supreme Lord in our hearts. So imagine we have a mirror in the heart and the Lord is reflecting in my heart in that mirror. So this is the state where we want to be in. So with this, I will stop here. If there are any comments or corrections or any questions, we can discuss further. Okay. So thank you very much. Khandrasya Nathagatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.